VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Katie Weaver has a story on new postage stamps featuring skateboarding. Andrew Smith reports on lab-grown meat. Faith Perlow answers a question about the phrase as well as. And finally, we hear part two of The Diamond Lens by Fitzjames O'Brien. But first...
For many years, skateboarding was considered an activity for young rebels or drug users in city streets, school grounds, and public parks. Those days are long gone. Skateboarding, which has indigenous roots connected to surfing, is now an Olympic sport. There are many skateboarding competitions held across the United States and other countries. Recently, skateboarding was honored with a special recognition, a postage stamp. The U.S. Postal Service released the stamps at a skate park in Phoenix, Arizona. Four indigenous artist skateboarders created the skateboards pictured on the postage. William Zollers, a member of the USPS Board of Governors, officiated at the event. As an American institution older than our country itself, the Postal Service is always looking for ways to highlight and honor the stories and histories that are unique to the United States, Zollers said. We are honored to do that again through these Art of the Skateboard Forever stamps. Dior Greenwood is one of the artists. The 27-year-old was born and raised on the Navajo Nation in Arizona. She said as a child, she was always getting pushed out of areas where she would skate. She noted the sport has come a long way. Now it's like being accepted on a global scale, Greenwood said. There's so many skateboarders I know that are extremely proud of it. The new stamps call attention to the popularity of skateboarding, especially in Indian country, where the demand for skate parks is growing. The artists see the stamp as a usable art piece that will be seen across the United States and around the world. For her skateboard stamp, artist Crystal Worrell honored her clan and her love of the water. A sockeye salmon fish is represented against a blue and indigo background. There are certain designs, patterns, and stories that belong to certain clans, and you have to have permission, even as an indigenous person, to share certain stories or designs, Worrell said. The other artists who created stamps are William James Taylor Jr., an artist from Virginia, and Frederico Maspaz Frum, a Colombian-born muralist in Washington, D.C. The USPS will print 18 million of the stamps. For the artists, being part of a project that feels low-tech in this age of social media is energizing. Maybe I'll get a letter in the mail that someone sent me with my stamp on it, said the 35-year-old Worrell, who lives in Juneau, Alaska. I think that's when it will really hit home with the excitement of that. I'm Katie Weaver.
An Australian company has made lab-grown meat using genetic information from a woolly mammoth, an extinct animal. The company launched the creation in a science museum in the Netherlands. It came just days before April 1st, known as April Fool's Day. "This is not an April Fool's joke," said Tim Noakesmith, founder of the Australian company Vow. "This is a real innovation." The lab-grown meat, also called cultivated or cell-based meat, is made from animal cells and grown in a lab. Animals do not need to be killed to produce them. Supporters of cultivated meat say it is better not just for the animals, but also for the environment. The company, Vow, combined genetic information from the mammoth and African elephants, the mammoth's closest living relative. The information was then put into a sheep muscle cell. In the lab, the cells increased in number until there were enough to make a meatball. More than 100 companies around the world are working on cultivated meat products. Experts say that if the technology becomes more common, it could greatly reduce the environmental impacts of meat production in the future. Currently, billions of hectares of land are used for meat production worldwide. Singapore is the only country so far to approve cultivated meat for humans to eat. Vow is hoping to sell its first product there, cultivated Japanese quail meat, later this year. Vow does not plan to put the mammoth meatball into production. Instead, the company created it to bring attention and get people talking about the future of meat. "We wanted to get people excited about the future of food, that there are things that are unique and better. And we thought the mammoth would be a conversation starter," Noakesmith told the Associated Press. Saren Kell is science and technology manager at Good Food Institute, a nonprofit that promotes plant and cell-based food. Kell said companies usually use cells from farm animals and seafood to develop cultivated meat. She noted that lab-grown meat can help reduce emissions from animal agriculture and satisfy worldwide demand for meat. The large meatball shown in the Netherlands was only for show and not to be eaten. However, the meatball was cooked, and people could smell it. Noakesmith said people who were there said it smelled like another cultivated product the company had produced, which was crocodile. He added that it is fascinating to think about smelling something from an animal that has been extinct for thousands of years. I'm Andrew Smith.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about as well as. Hi, VOA Learning English. My name is Neetu, and I am from India. I have been learning English using your programs for several years. My question is, what is the correct meaning of as well as? And please explain the usage in sentences. Thank you, Neetu. This is an interesting question, Neetu. That little group of words operates in an unusual way sometimes. As an adverb, as well means also, in addition, or to. We often place as well at the end of our sentences. Thank you for meeting me today and for helping me with my errands as well. We can also add as to form the phrase as well as. This means in addition to, and normally serves as a conjunction. She studied business in college as well as art history. And combines two nouns, expressions, or sentences, usually of the same importance. However, a speaker using the phrase might be bringing additional attention to the noun that comes before as well as. On their trip to Europe, they went to Prague, as well as smaller cities in Czechia. Be careful when using as well as with the subject of a sentence. In this case, the phrase does not act like a normal conjunction. When we use as well as to form the subject of a sentence, English usage calls for us to pay attention to subject-verb agreement. Normally, if a subject is singular, we use a singular verb. If the subject is plural, then we use the plural form of the verb. But in many cases, having as well as after the subject does not make the subject plural. My cat, as well as my dogs, plays outside in the yard every day. If you want to include the noun my dogs in the subject, use and. Then the subject will be plural. My cat and my dogs play outside in the yard every day. The reason English speakers do this is complex and requires more explanation than we can provide here. Just remember that the as well as phrase is not included in the subject. Use the normal subject-verb agreement rules for the subject of the sentence. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Neetu. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
You just heard Faith Perlow present this week's Ask a Teacher. Welcome back to the show, Faith.
Thanks, Dan.
This week, a listener wrote in and asked about the phrases as well and as well as. That got me thinking about another expression we use, might as well. Can you explain a little about this?
That's a great question as well, Dan. See what I did there? Anyways, we use might as well, or sometimes may as well, for suggestions. And we use them pretty informally in everyday speech. Think about a situation where there are no better options or limited options. So you suggest that you might as well do the easiest or likely option. Can you think of a situation like this, Dan?
Yeah, actually just last Friday. I was running late getting out of work, and my girlfriend and I were supposed to have dinner and see a movie, but because I was so late, we just went to the movie.
You probably said something like, I'm running so late that we might just as well skip dinner and go straight to the movie.
I probably did say something like that. But why do you use the word just?
You can add just to the phrase to make it a little stronger of a suggestion. You were probably a little frustrated that you were running late. So adding just emphasizes that frustration and strengthens the suggestion. Did you at least buy her popcorn and a drink?
I did. We both shared a large popcorn because we were just so hungry.
Next time, you might as well just get her dinner, Dan. Girls love food.
You're right, Faith. That's a good suggestion. See you next week.
Our story is called The Diamond Lens. It was written by Fitzjames O'Brien. Today we will hear the second and final part of the story. Here is Morris Joyce with part two of The Diamond Lens.
When I was a child, someone gave me a microscope. I spent hours looking through that microscope, exploring nature's tiny secrets. As I grew up, I became more interested in my microscope than in people. When I was 20 years old, my parents sent me to New York City to study medicine. I never went to any of my classes. Instead, I spent all my time and a lot of my money trying to build the perfect microscope. I wanted to make a powerful lens that would let me see even the smallest parts of life. But all my experiments failed. Then, one day, I met a young man who lived in the apartment above mine. Jules Simon told me about a woman who could speak to the dead. When I visited Madame Volpe's, she let me speak to the spirit of the man who invented the microscope. The spirit of Anton Leeuwenhoek told me how to make a perfect lens from a diamond of 140 carats. But where could I find a diamond that big? When I returned home, I went to Simon's apartment. He was surprised to see me and tried to hide a small object in his pocket. I wanted to discover what it was, so I brought two bottles of wine to his apartment. We began to drink. By the time we had finished the first bottle, Simon was very drunk. "Simon, I know you have a secret. Why don't you tell me about it?" Something in my voice must have made him feel safe. He made me promise to keep his secret. Then he took a small box from his pocket. When he opened it, I saw a large diamond shaped like a rose, a pure white light seemed to come from deep inside the diamond. Simon told me he had stolen the diamond from a man in South America. He said it weighed exactly 140 carats. Excitement shook my body. I could not believe my luck. On the same evening that the spirit of Leeuwenhoek tells me the secret of the perfect lens, I find the diamond I need to create it. I decided to steal Simon's treasure. I sat across the table from him as he drank another glass of wine. I knew I could not simply steal the diamond. Simon would call the police. There was only one way to get the diamond. I had to kill Simon. Everything I needed to murder Simon was right there in his apartment. A bottle full of sleeping powder was on a table near his bed. A long, thin knife lay on the table. Simon was so busy looking at his diamond that I was able to put the drug in his glass quite easily. He fell asleep in 15 minutes. I put his diamond in my pocket and carried Simon to the bed. I wanted to make the police think Simon had killed himself. I picked up Simon's long, thin knife and stared down at him. I tried to imagine exactly how the knife would enter Simon's heart if he were holding the knife himself. I pushed the knife deep into his heart. I heard a sound come from his throat, like the bursting of a large bubble. His body moved, and his right hand grabbed the handle of the knife. He must have died immediately. I washed our glasses and took the two wine bottles away with me. I left the lights on, closed the door, and went back to my apartment. Simon's death was not discovered until 3 o'clock the next day. One of the neighbors knocked at his door, and when there was no answer, she called the police. They discovered Simon's body on the bed. The police questioned everyone, but they did not learn the truth. The police finally decided Jules Simon had killed himself, and soon everyone forgot about him. I had committed the perfect crime. For 3 months after Simon's death, I worked day and night on my diamond lens. At last, the lens was done. My hands shook as I put a drop of water on a piece of glass. Carefully, I added some oil to the water to prevent it from drying. I turned on a strong light under the glass and looked through the diamond lens. For a moment, I saw nothing in that drop of water, and then I saw a pure white light. Carefully, I moved the lens of my microscope closer to the drop of water. Slowly, the white light began to change. It began to form shapes. I could see clouds and wonderful trees and flowers. These plants were the most unusual colors, bright reds, greens, purples, as well as silver and gold. The branches of these trees moved slowly in a soft wind. Everywhere I looked, I could see fruits and flowers of a thousand different colors. How strange, I thought, that this beautiful place has no animal life in it. Then I saw something moving slowly among the brightly colored trees and bushes. The branches of a purple and silver bush were gently pushed aside, and there, before my eye, stood the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. She was perfect. Pink skin, large blue eyes, and long golden hair that fell over her shoulders to her knees. She stepped away from the rainbow-colored trees. Like a flower floating on water, she drifted through the air. Watching her move was like listening to the sound of tiny bells ringing in the wind. She went to the rainbow-colored trees and looked up at one of them. The tree moved one of its branches that was full of fruit. It lowered the branch to her, and she took one of the fruits. She turned it in her tiny hands and began to eat. How I wished I had the power to enter that bright light and float with her through those beautiful forests. Suddenly, I realized I had fallen in love with this tiny creature. I loved someone who would never love me back, someone who was a prisoner in a drop of water. I ran out of the room, threw myself on my bed, and cried till I fell asleep. Day after day, I returned to my microscope to watch her. I never left my apartment. I rarely even ate or slept. One day, as usual, I went to my microscope, ready to watch my love. She was there, but a terrible change had taken place. Her face had become thin, and she could hardly walk. The wonderful light in her golden hair and blue eyes was gone. At that moment, I would have given my soul to become as small as she and enter her world to help her. What was causing her to be so sick? She seemed in great pain. I watched her for hours, helpless and alone with my breaking heart. She grew weaker and weaker. The forest also was changing. The trees were losing their wonderful colors. Suddenly, I realized I had not looked at the drop of water for several days. I had looked into it with the microscope, but not at it. As soon as I looked at the glass under the microscope, I understood the horrible truth. I had forgotten to add more oil to the drop of water to stop it from drying. The drop of water had disappeared. I rushed again to look through the lens. The rainbow forests were all gone. My love lay in a spot of weak light. Her pink body was dried and wrinkled. Her eyes were black as dust. Slowly, she disappeared forever. I fainted and woke many hours later on pieces of my microscope. I had fallen on it when I fainted. My mind was as broken as the diamond lens. I crawled to my bed and withdrew from the world. When I finally got better, months later, all my money was gone. People now say I am crazy. They call me Linley, the mad scientist. No one believes I spoke to the spirit of Leeuwenhoek. They laugh when I tell them how I killed Jules Simon and stole his diamond to make the perfect lens. They think I never saw that beautiful world in a drop of water. But I know the truth of the diamond lens, and now so do you.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.